What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Gidibar Sakai. He is the founder of BitX coming on. He's going to tell us all about basically what he's trying to do in the crypto space to keep people, you know, compliant with taxes. So it's a very interesting interview where he talks about his past, how he got into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. I've never heard this story before, so it was pretty interesting there. Some of his hidden talents and one of his favorite restaurants in Tel Aviv, or maybe it was Jerusalem. I don't know. There's so many great restaurants in both cities. So anyways, let's go check out the interview and I'll catch you on the other side. What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Gidibar Sakai. He's the CEO and founder of BitX, man. So I'm excited to hear about all the cool stuff that you're doing in the space. You have a very impressive background in tax, in tech, all that kind of cool stuff. So I guess just, you know, to start it off, man, tell us a little about yourself, man. Where are you at? Some of your background, all that kind of cool stuff.
Thank you very much. So for us, cryptocurrency is a new world from 2016. You could say in a way of speaking that I'm actually coming from the other side, but don't intimidate it. I'm only talking about the tax authorities. So this is actually, I've been working with the tax authorities in Israel. My last position there was number two. And then I left the tax authority in 2009. Since they're heavily involved in private sector, dealing with tax havens, admitting money to tax authorities under voluntary disclosure, pretty much engaged and familiar with the ecosystem of fiat money and what is involved with fiat money and what is involved with tax filing. And then I came across the blockchain. So 2016, which is so late. I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed that it was so late, but I'm paying the price. It was only 2016. But then tax authority people came to us, to the CPA Association, which I'm a member of director, and they told us they are running a circulator regarding Bitcoin. So the tax people showed me for the first time Bitcoin. So
that's interesting.
I have to come clean, so I have to say that.
So that is funny. I've never heard anybody say that they found out about Bitcoin, you know, from the tax authorities. That's a new one. I've heard of lots of people that have Bitcoin that then had the tax authorities show up at their door with the old knock, but I've never heard it the other way around.
But be sure of that. Nobody can tell a story like this if it's not true.
Yeah.
Nobody's that. Yeah. So this is the story. And I'm thankful for the tax authority that they showed us the circulator. It's a shame they didn't come earlier, but you know, nothing is perfect. The point is that once I reviewed this and I had my experience with regulators, I had my experience with taxation. And you know, Israel is a small country, but the tax code is very convoluted, much more than it had to be. So we always say that if you can deal with the Israeli tax system, you can deal with any tax system worldwide. I came across the blockchain and I saw Bitcoin. And it struck me like this is something that's going to be very interesting. I fell in love. So this is the technology, and I'm a new immigrant to internet as well. The combination between this technology and the diseases of regulators, of fiat money, of governments that produce money without limitation, of the regulators that even if they do the job properly, they end up having the power to decide about circumstances, about facts. So facts should be something neutral, and then you need to take the law and try to interpret it. But when you fight over to try to figure out what really happened, what is the real story? So if you look at blockchain, if you look at Bitcoin, if you look at other cryptocurrency, this is a great message. This is a great future for everybody in all aspects of life, not only money, in all aspects of life. And then we figure out that for cryptocurrency to kick in, the next thing is to go through regulation, because if it would not go through regulation, it will be interesting. I think that cryptocurrency will never leave. I mean, Bitcoin would not go unless you turn off the internet. So it doesn't ask permission. It doesn't ask permission for anybody. So this is how it comes so far. But in order for this to become mainstream, to be strong enough, it needs to be used a lot. The usage is very low. This is the problem now. And if you go through regulation, you actually can make regulators feel very safe, because you see, it's like different cultures, really different cultures that come from a different place. So you can take, and on one hand, you know, the cyberpunks that did a tremendously important job with bringing everything as it is today. And on the other hand, you have the regulators. People tend to wait for regulators to change the law in order for this to fit cryptocurrency. Well, it's not going to happen that soon. And then you have the other side, the regulators, that they try to put fit Bitcoin into a suit that doesn't fit you. If you put a suit that doesn't fit you, you don't feel comfortable. It doesn't look good. So to try to measure Bitcoin for regulators in terms of bank accounts, Excel sheets and everything, this is very nice, but it is not effective. Then Bitcoin doesn't show nice and all other cryptocurrencies do not. We actually use native tools. This is what BitEx is all about. We look at the blockchain and we use the native tool on blockchain. Now, regulators just need to understand that this is much more powerful. I mean, this is a big, big gap between what regulators need to have as information. So they need to take the first share of information in order to implement the law. And it can be done. I mean, the next thing for us, I mean, everybody knows, if they know what they're talking about, that they know that blockchain and Bitcoin, not only that it is like not secret, it's also completely naked out there. So regulators need, when the time comes, they need to have something to hold them, to keep them away from information they don't need to share. But a good regulator that wants to do his job properly, he can take the fair share of information. Actually, he can be satisfied with zero knowledge proof of tax filing. We have the technology to do that. It is too early to implement. But basically, you know, we're dealing about people that want to do their jobs. I mean, regulators, I mean, you can find people that say, we don't need any governments, we don't need regulators. I think we do. I'm a liberal. I think we do need them in a very, very basic sense of protecting us from terror, protecting us from terrible crimes. And actually, blockchain can do this much better than fiat money. I mean, if you work with blockchain right, the right way, it will suit you. Because, you know, when people come to the regulators and say, we want to come clean, you can see everything, we want to file correctly, then they need to be honest. If you claim you're honest, it will be extremely difficult to lie to the blockchain. I mean, regulators think that cryptocurrency and Bitcoin is like flying in the air and nobody knows what it is. And then they say, you go and implement FIFO, which is first in, first out, because we don't know anything. So my friend, this is like changing the history. We can look at the blockchain. Blockchain is very informative. We can implement technology that will suit the regulator, the regulations exactly they are today. If we wait for regulators to write a new book, it will take a lot of time. So it's about time and pain, unnecessary pain. We can use blockchain to meet regulators like they need today. We need to show them that it is possible. You know, we just finished our beta of BitEx in Israel. So we sit with the people from the tax authority. So they don't know to begin with blockchain. So you take an old-fashioned measure. You like check BitEx like statistically. Take 5% of the transactions, which is a huge amount. You get thousands of transactions. Wherever they point, we check this and we see that it gets to be right. So this is how we do it today. Later, when they come more acquaintance with cryptocurrency and blockchain, they can implement mathematical proof, which we can support right now. But, you know, the zero knowledge proof is relevant if you know the knowledge. If you don't have a knowledge, the zero knowledge proof would not help you. What we do, which is like, it's exciting. We feel like kids in the candy store because we don't know where to go. There is Bitcoin, smart contracts, and implementation of smart contracts. Now we have Lightning. So we can open Lightning channels, payment channels. We can choose a UTXO exactly to fit a level of price in the markets in which you can do your tax planning. So you get a whole picture. Everything you did, you know, it's difficult to remember. Now you have HD wallets. So it's easy, but we're talking, you know, IRS just published letters to 10,000 taxpayers. They inform them they need to tell everything and to file everything since 2013. These wallets were paper wallets. You did them on the laptop. And then when we do that, BitEx can support these people to find out all the addresses they had before. So there's a very nice timeline of information. We can support admitting a crypto into exchanges and out, so we get the full picture. That keeps everybody calm. Now, I don't overlook a big, big question of privacy. I mean, this is, it's not fungible, it's open. It makes you feel like vulnerable. So the only way to do this right is just to move forward and to do your best to keep your privacy. So we can hash the addresses, we can do our best, but for now, there's like, we're going towards like a different arrangement between tax authorities and taxpayers, also money laundry authorities. So governments would not print money anymore in the future, but they get a very good understanding of who is all right. I mean, if you look at the blockchain, you can see somebody's doing a Schnorr or CoinJoin. So maybe they're only looking to be private. It's very difficult to go to the tax authority and explain that people want privacy, not because they did something wrong, they just want to keep their privacy. So this is something we need to do. But at the end of the day, you can look at the book and you can understand where is things going dangerous and when you can feel very safe. And it doesn't matter why people didn't come forward. You just know they didn't. So in terms of what we do, we hope, and actually we have great expectation for cryptocurrency to kick in through regulation. And I think this is the way that it will become intensive. And then a lot of the diseases we suffer from day by day will go. We say goodbye to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you covered a lot of stuff right there. So, I mean, some of the things I'd like to touch on a little bit is, you know, obviously we don't have the crypto adoption yet because obviously we don't have the users, right? But there's these big companies that want to come into the space that aren't able to yet because of regulation. And so there needs to be kind of a little trade-off, right? There needs to be, you know, a certain amount of regulation to where the regulators feel comfortable. You know, that way these big companies come in, the money comes in, the market cap goes up, people start using crypto. But one of the things that, you know, people are leery about right now is taxes. And so that's why something like this is really helpful, because people want to do the right thing. It's not like they're trying to evade the tax man, where they're trying to keep everything secret and, you know, screw Uncle Sam. They just don't really know. And because, you know, the regulators haven't really put out clear regulation, right? We really don't know exactly what the tax code is yet. Now they get 10,000 scary letters and they're like, oh my God, right? So something like this could be really useful. So with BitTax, you guys right now, does it work just with Bitcoin, or would you be able to plug in, say, for instance, I had Ethereum addresses and Ripple and Stellar and Bitcoin? Could I plug all those addresses into you guys and then be able to have kind of a, you know, a clear vision of all my transactions and what I did with what, all that kind of stuff, to be more compliant with regulators and tax authorities?
That's a great question. Actually, we can support most of what's going on right now. So, but I need to implement this a bit. So we have the Bitcoin blockchain, which is for tax purpose. I mean, this is awful. I think that some of the people that will hear this will feel physical pain, but Bitcoin blockchain is very compatible with tax necessities because it's very accurate and it can track everything in a sensible way that leaves no doubt, which is a good thing. As I said, we need to keep privacy. So the blockchain for Bitcoin is very, very good to consolidate your tax basis and everything. We also support Ethereum and ERC-20. And, you know, when you say you support Bitcoin, we support Litecoin and we can support other stuff. We just need to take it step by step. So now, for now, we support Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, ERC-20. We're on the way to support more coins. And yes, you can plug everything in. Now, I should say that the specific identification, which consolidates exactly what happened, is much more friendly, tax friendly with Bitcoin blockchain rather than with Ethereum. Because then we implement other methods which are not so perfect as Bitcoin, but this is with regard to the past. With regard to the future, I mean, we can do everything we want. We can use the smart contracts to consolidate tax liability. Actually, you can have a wallet in your hand that will behave like a wallet. Say you have like 5 Bitcoins. You can tell every minute of the time how many of these can be spent instantly as coins rather than assets because you have the tax spending on. So this is something very nice. And as you said, it's very difficult to talk about this without covering so many things, but this is
for sure. What most people, I think, want to know is if they use your service, and this is a service, it's not a token or a coin. If they use your service, will they be able to see what their tax liability is once they plug the information in? Will they be able to know this is how much I owe Uncle Sam? Or is it going to be kind of like a spreadsheet that they give to their CPA that then their CPA tells them, okay, here's what you owe?
No, I think the point is to have, I think the BitTax is talking to crypto enthusiasts more than it talks to CPAs. So I can have like an hour of representation with a CPA or a firm doing Zoom or something. And then I talk about crypto and blockchain and everybody gets sleepy. And then I show them the Excel sheets and everybody are waking up. I say, this is very nice. Bravo. Because they like the sheets. These are CPAs. I mean, we are CPAs. We are not, very simple. You'd like to have the lines and the result. But the point is that instead of the crypto enthusiast coming to the CPA and says, this is my transactions. What should I do? So the CPA looks at him and says, okay, you should put them on an Excel sheet. So this guy goes back and it takes half a year to do something on Excel sheet. Then he brings it to the CPA, doesn't know what to do with it. So if you come to BitTax, you just throw everything in the regex, in our information. The machine takes everything. It gets the strings. It can allocate coins. It takes the, we're operating, we have a node of our own. So we go, we're operating like a Bitcoin Explorer, a Litecoin Explorer, Ethereum, we take an API. And then we get all the information. Now the system runs through tax algorithms. So we run like 6 lanes and they match everything. And they do specific identification. They do LIFO, they do FIFO, they do whatever they need to do. In Israel, actually, we don't implement LIFO. It's only in the United States. But the thing is that what we do is we pair the information of sales when you bought. This is what we do. So we can implement this instantly. So in the United States, we perform in terms that we get like very fast. And then when I say fast, I mean a tax report might take for regular circumstances half a year. We do it. If we have the information under our hand, it can happen in hours, maybe even less. So you just need to put the transactions. You need to bring the Excel sheets and CSV from the exchanges. The public keys of your wallets. Actually, I was surprised. I saw that there is a demand for people to plug in the XPub. So if somebody wants us to use the XPub, we use this in extreme cortex and we even don't keep the information of the XPub itself. And then you get all the addresses and then you get to every report. So I say, like, if you have 40 CPA working 10 years, we do this in 30 seconds.
Wow.
So it's efficient and you get to see everything and also the missing information. So this is like a combination of crypto enthusiastic and CPA Excel sheets that shows everything accurate. And to your question, taxpayers, once they get the admitted information, they know exactly how much they owe and how much they're saving if they did FIFO and something else. So it's like tax planning. You can do it manually. Of course, this is about doing this under the law and take no responsibility for the information, but we actually can track a lot of information.
We're not
hunting to find something wrong, but we definitely are very sensitive to the information.
Gotcha. So you just report, you know, when I say report, you report to the user, you know, what they've done, what they owe, and then they're able to, you know, pay taxes or things like that. So some people will have questions. Obviously, you know, once their public addresses are exposed, once you know their name, their public addresses, obviously, it's all public, right? So now everybody's going to know if this stuff goes public, if you get hacked or something like that, who owns what, right? So what do you do to ensure people's privacy? What's this cost? And, you know, what do you say to the people that, you know, obviously just, you know, they want to pay taxes, but they don't want to, you know, have people know who they are?
Yeah. So, well, many questions and all very, very painful points. I agree with you completely. So basically, crypto enthusiastic are like used to very high level of security and confidentiality with what they do. We cannot support this, not only because we don't have the facilities, but the tax authorities that at the end of the day, the information is flowing through, we cannot control what's happening there. So basically, the information is much more vulnerable than it was before. And I should say this straightforward out loud. There is no way to in these days to be in touch with the level that they're supposed to know from the past that they know that used to. So basically, I think in the near future, we don't have anybody to work with that way. If we can have the technology to have zero knowledge proof and to hash the information and actually to enable people to approach information only with single sign, so a multi-signature signs and everything. This is to be implemented soon. For now, it is vulnerable. So we use the highest level of protection on our servers. So we use anti-cyber and whatever we could do. We cannot be responsible for what happened after the information flows to tax authorities. Actually, tax authorities, for now, they do not all ask this information in this doorway, but we're working under the understanding that they would. And we must remember that this thing already happened. I mean, the Supreme Court against the Coinbase and all this information is flowing, and also this is the same stuff in Israel. So actually, we can tell that the information is out there. And to my understanding, there is two ways to deal with that. One way is to try to be smart, like text me if you can and try to hide this. And I think by the end of the day, if you know cryptocurrency and you know blockchain, you should figure out the tax authorities. I mean, they're educated people. It's just a matter of time. And the other thing is, like, once you decide to go forward and if you do this properly, you will be much faster in the convenient place of doing what you need. And if you use something like BitX, you're not vulnerable because you are 100% sure that you filed everything. And if something is missing, you are able to mention this. You know, many exchanges were gone. So now if you come to tax authorities without the understanding of what's going on, you said, well, I was the only expect. For now, it's different. I saw the IRS publications. They know exactly what they're talking about. They're very professional in understanding this. So in the previous years, you come with an Excel sheet. And if there's no exchange, no Excel sheet, and that's it. With BitEx, you do something different because you can check the Excel sheet. You know it's full because you see the cryptocurrency entering and exiting the exchange. And then if the exchange is missing and you see the whole picture, we can deal with that also. There's a big capital gain between deposits and withdrawals. The exchange is gone. That's it. It's a fact. You cannot do anything against it, but use the information you have on the blockchain. And then you're very strong because, you know, this is, if you look at it from a higher level, the monopoly for the evidence is not in the hands of authorities anymore. We hold this together and nobody can argue. I mean, if somebody can steal a Bitcoin from blockchain, then this guy can change the tax calculation we do. If he cannot do that, tax calculation should be solid as it is.
Gotcha. Transparent and immutable. One of the two of the things that we love about blockchain. Right. So what is your service cost, people? So if people want to sign up, obviously you got the beta that just went live in Israel, and then you got the beta that's going live in the US here really soon. So what can people expect to pay?
So we're expecting to launch the beta soon in the United States. The first participants in the beta would not pay anything. After one level of admitting people and running forward, we would charge upon a tax report. So this is going to be a one-time charge for admitting the client with the tax report after his kind of understanding and admitting all the information to BitEx. So it will be an annually pay of we'll be in sequence with the market price and also how many transactions and what is the difficulties the BitEx need to go through. So this is basically a very plain, vanilla, straightforward model. You take a report and you want to use this information to file to the tax authorities. We do not take liability on the filing itself, but the calculation and everything we do with your information under BitEx protocol will be in there for that price. So gotcha. We're going to have something that is very, very vast that will enable people to move forward because we believe that once the regulators feel comfortable, you know, in the United States, there is a mandatory filing obligation. 56% of people admitting reports. With cryptocurrency, they say only 20. So there is a big gap, like an arbitrage. And I think we can use this time. And also you probably know about the Congress main letter to the IRS about giving us some guidings. So I think the tax season for 2019, which will be first quarter of 2020, will be very interesting. And I think we need to do this right. And to find the advantages of doing things right, to sleep at night.
Gotcha, man. Great stuff. We'll make sure to put the links out there for people for you. And then more about yourself. So you're in Israel. How long have you been there?
Well, since I was born, which is like 52 years ago, I get to travel a lot in the last 10 years because I was dealing, as I said, with tax havens and admitting black money to tax authorities in order to make it clear. So what I did is like I was working for tax authorities. I started from the bottom, actually the investigations unit. And for to work in the Israeli tax authority, it's very interesting because, as I mentioned, we're a small country, but we do a lot of noise. So it's like you see us in the ecosystem of the internet. And one of the things that it's a bit pity now and we try to make it better, I'm speaking also of the CPA Association director. So tax authorities in Israel went very fast towards cryptocurrency. And I think people are expecting Israel to take a part of the ecosystem like a startup nation. We should be also with cryptocurrency. So the Swiss, that they have the experience of banking, they have the Zug Valley, which is like crypto valley. And we look at them and say, if they can do this, we can do even better maybe. So the dream is to make it like something that is very, very engaged in high tech, in developing stuff, and also to get to enjoy the benefits of technology that is spread in Israel. I think anybody that knows Israel knows that the potential is great. So for me, it's like 2.5 years ago, I'm a new immigrant to internet. I was introduced to internet actually by my son because somebody hacked his FIFA games. So then I started to look at it and I found a great world. And then when we look at the instrument, the implementation, everything you can do, it's like 24/7 of real, real interest in something you do. So something that became like a hobby in the beginning. Now I do it every day for a living and I love it. And it's very interesting. You see, you go to the tax authorities and you sit with people and they don't know it yet. And then when you start talking to them and you start to introduce this, they start to fight this or maybe to ask questions. And by the end of the session, and if they are polite, they listen all the way because sometimes, you talk about this blockchain and stuff. Let's do tax arrangements. And say, no, this is about blockchain. So then, I mean, you can tell people if they know what they're talking about, if they talk about blockchain. You know, when they stop to dig in, they need to dig more, maybe. So for us, like, it's like an amazing experience. And it comes with all this experience of doing something else. So if somebody is reluctant, it's easy for me to understand, because I was a fool like this before too. And as I came clean right when we started to talk, I said, tax authorities introduced me to Bitcoin. So I'm not proud of it, but I'm happy it happened. So now for us, the challenge is to make sure the banks do all this. And I think that once they have the foot in the door, not to mention Libra and Facebook, so maybe we just stop a few seconds to thank them for that, because I'm not sure this is going to be running a blockchain like we hope it to run, but this is definitely a very strong ambassador to what we're hoping to achieve. Blockchain is a good technology. It can support a lot of good stuff. Like everything else, it can support also maybe some bad stuff, but I mean, even a ghetto VR from a heist is doing bad stuff. So we need to balance this. And I think this is exciting times. And the big virtue is like my son, which is like 15 years old now, he's my partner. He's watching market caps all day long to try to convince me to invest more. But yes, you know, this guy is unbelievable. He has 10% of everything we do. So let's put some more.
There you go. 100%, man. So, you know, with Israel, a lot of people, you know, they know how incredible, you know, the tech is there, all the stuff that, you know, just as a country, you guys have delivered and developed. But one of the things that I love the most about it is the food. What is your favorite restaurant, you know, like in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem? Because there's so many great places. I did not have a bad meal anytime I've ever been there.
Wow. That's I see the way you smile. So maybe it's the workshop. You've been to the workshop?
I haven't.
You haven't?
No. Not the wood shop or the workshop. Yeah, no, I haven't been either.
So you just let us know when you're coming. We make sure that we get, you know, in Israel, I mean, the one of the upper side is like the restaurants and the ecosystem and everything. Sometimes when people are reluctant with the way they're treated in Israel, sometimes the bureaucracy is too much and we don't like it, but as I said, we need to be open. So at the end of the day, some of them come to me and said, Giri, in Israel, only restaurants. So I'm not happy about that, but restaurants are great. So
they're amazing. Yeah. Amazing places, man. What's a book that you read that was important to you? You know, maybe, you know, kind of shaping your life that you think other people could benefit from as well?
Wow, difficult question for me. Well, actually, wow, you got me there. So there is this book about, and I'm not sure the name in English, about this Iranian guy from Afghanistan that he was going away and with the kites. I'm not sure how you say this in English. A great book about non-democracy regime with the Taliban and everything right there in the far dangerous East, someone that is so delicate and so strong in mind. And for me as an Israeli, to read this kind of book and to sympathize with someone like this, it was a great experience because it gave me the view. And I really sorry that I cannot remember the name in English. Actually, I don't need to remember because I never knew it in English. In Hebrew, it says, Wodefa Fifonim. It's like the guy with the kites, what the small kids are doing. Great, great book. So it is like, I'm not sure this is life-shaping experience, but definitely some very strong. And I'm talking about the book that I read 12 years ago.
Gotcha. What's a skill? What's a skill that you have that maybe other people don't know that you have? Or, you know, maybe some kind of talent. You know, maybe you play your harmonica or maybe you're a ventriloquist or something.
Well, actually, the talent I hope I have in me is strong. And people, not only that they don't know, even the guys that I'm trying to tell do not believe me, is actually programming.
Really?
I mean, this is unbelievable. I'm 52, new immigrant to internet. The problem was that when I was trying to code my system, it was so convoluted because I'm speaking to very, very intelligent people. They're smart people. They're programmers. They're so smart and they're honest. And we get to sit together hours and we're talking. We're very happy. We came to an understanding. So we didn't. Anybody's talking about something else. So I dug in. I started to use my nights in order to do basic programming to learn something. And this is very exciting. And I feel like this is something I'm doing good. I mean, I can see stuff. I don't know always to explain them, but I can see them happening. And when I look at the way the internet grew up, like a petty thing, something that was not organized, this is why it's so vulnerable. This is why it's so interesting, so deep and so high. So for me, if you ask about talent that people do not know, it might be that. I certainly hope so, because the other talent is that I'm very modest. So
that's incredible. Yeah, no, I love it. That way the programmers can't pull the wool over your eyes. You can, you know, maybe you babysit a little bit. You can double check their code. That's awesome. What's a talent or skill you don't have that you wish you did? Maybe you'll pick this up in the next 5 years.
Well, there's no chance for me to get this gap up. I wish I could be more patient and to be able to consume other people's understanding and needs better than I do. I think this is something that I'm lack of. And this is a shame, because I really don't mean bad, but it takes time for people to sit and to understand and to be patient with other people, because this is how you learn and this is how you get forward. But we have what we have. It's difficult. I mean, being aware of that is something that might help.
Yeah, well said. And last question. If you had a time machine and you could go forward in time or you could go backwards in time, but you had to stay there, when and why would you go?
Wow. These are difficult questions.
Oh, they're fun. They get to, yeah, they get to know the founder a little bit.
They are fun. It will be pride right to say I would like to remain where we are, so I need to choose something. So the future is unknown and the past is known. You can allocate something and say, I feel quite comfortable with this point. Nevertheless, you might be wrong 100 times, but you feel confident. So I take the future, and I will take the future in the ecosystem of cyber. And I think this is a place that would not be consumed in one place or another, because it would not matter. You can sit, and this is the part of what we do with other aspects of blockchain and also internet. You can sit right here in Jerusalem and talk to somebody that is sitting in England. But it doesn't matter. So the future is taking place in a different level. And for me, one of the aspects which is very interesting is to consume, is to consolidate the one individual that is personally identified as a human being, because this is something that the internet doesn't have at all now. And once you have it properly organized, then the future is nice. The future is clean. You don't have fake news. You don't have fake money. Everything you say is about you, and nobody can claim he said that. This is also the support of blockchain. So future cyberspace, I think I will enjoy this.
Great stuff, my friend. Well, Giddy, it's been awesome, you know, meeting you, hearing your story, you know, hearing about what you're doing there at BitTax. We'll make sure we get the links out for everybody. Keep kicking butt out there. We look forward to the beta release that you guys are going to bring to the U.S., man, and I look forward to trying it out myself.
Am I waiting for you to visit Jerusalem for the restaurants?
Yeah, you know it. I'll be there in the next year for sure. So awesome, my friend. Well, God bless, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you very much.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Big thanks to Giddy. Appreciate you, buddy, coming on, telling us all the cool stuff that you're trying to do in the space for us. Awesome, man. Just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beatles and his guests. Robert Beatles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beatles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right. God bless you. Love you. Till the next one. Talk to you soon.